So let's start with how strange this situation is, how unexpected, how abnormal. I'm here again preaching to an empty sanctuary. My spouse is at her church right now doing the exact same thing. And so my daughter's here with me. And in adherence to physical distancing, I'm wearing her instead of letting someone else hold her right now. Doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right to be physically apart. In this moment right now, all I want is to see you all in person, to shake your hands, hug. I want my daughter to be blessed by the touch of human hands and to be held by community members who love her. Of course, I know we will do those things again. The day will come, but it's not time yet. And today it feels so strange. So maybe this unusual, silly scene of a mom with her baby on a Zoom meeting is familiar to some of you who are learning to work from home this week and parent at the same time. Perhaps you're getting used to Zoom calls with kids in the background and surprise visits from pets. So thank you for offering me your grace and understanding today as I navigate being a minister and a mother at the same time. Like all of you, I am just trying to make it work to stay present and get through each day moment by moment. And to be perfectly honest, it's been a difficult week. Our world is changing in ways we never imagined or wanted. Our national leaders are fumbling and sending us mixed messages. Our healthcare workers are working without adequate supplies. Our hearts are breaking for our sick and our dead. Our lives have been turned upside down. Our future is uncertain. Being in my home every day while the outside world spins around in turmoil, I've started to wonder if this must be what it was like for Julian of Norwich. Julian was a Christian mystic, theologian, and the first woman to ever write a book in the English language. She lived in 14th century England during the Black Plague. She witnessed many rounds of the plague, starting as a young child. She herself fell severely ill and almost died. It was on what she thought was her deathbed that she had her spiritual visions or revelations, which became the subject of her book. Sometime after this near-death experience, she became an anchoress, intentionally withdrawing from secular life and moving into a small cell attached to the church in Norwich to devote her entire life to prayer and contemplation. Julian spent every day all day alone, praying and writing. She was secluded. She had very little interaction with the world outside. Nevertheless, she knew what was going on. She knew the Black Plague was destroying her town. She knew how bad it was. And yet the most famous quote from her book, the saying that everyone remembers her by, the one that we sang during the story time, is the ever hopeful, beautiful phrase, "All shall be well. All shall be well and all manner of things shall be well." Really? How could she possibly have been that optimistic in such a harrowing time? All shall be well. Sounds cliche to me at this point. And so I decided to turn back and reread Julian of Norwich this week, wondering if there was something else there, wondering if she might have something to teach me about living through a pandemic. And I realized that although I remembered the phrase as something that she said, it was actually something God said to her. You see, when Julian was confused and distressed about evil and human nature, God said to her, "All shall be well." Really, God? That feels a little hard to hear right now. Turns out it was just as hard for Julian to hear in her time as it is for us now. You see, she reported this vision in her book, but she went on to argue with God that this couldn't possibly be true. She had her doubts. No way. I have doubts too. And this week, I have been arguing with the Holy all about it. Sure, if you take the longest view possible, the view of God, then yes, all shall be well. As a people, we will survive this. Maybe we will even change for the better. The earth will go on. Maybe it will even heal. And maybe we will even learn to treat her better. We will come out of this crisis into a new world. The world my daughter will grow up in is not going to be the same world we were in just a few months ago. And in that sense, I can believe that all shall be well, because I am hoping beyond hope that this moment right now will serve as a wake-up call, inviting us boldly into a new, sustainable, and just way of life, where we prioritize caring for the earth, where everyone has access to health care, and where labor laws are fair and equitable. And where Madeline, maybe, is going to be a preacher as she practices today. But in the meantime, I don't know. There is too much uncertainty. It hurts to be so far apart from everyone. I'm worried about people I know and love getting sick. I'm worried about healthcare workers. All right, I'm letting Madeline explore, which is her favorite thing. Back to my worries. I'm worried about all of us right now. And when I'm worried, I tend to jump into a place of action, to a place of love. I imagine some of you are feeling the same way. Love calls us to do things. We want to do something to help people. A few years ago in 2016, when I was out there sandbagging to keep back the floodwaters with all of you, it was a little easier. That was an obvious, tangible thing to do. But what is love calling us to do right now? What does love in action look like in this moment? Oddly, it looks like not doing things, staying home and practicing physical distancing, something I've never been called to do before. It seems strange, but the inaction that we are being called to do is the boldest thing we can do right now. Keeping our distance is love in action. Keeping our distance is an act of solidarity with all humanity, especially our most vulnerable. I don't expect that we will be back to normal by Easter. We will not gather in person as a church until health authorities say it's okay to do so. And I don't know when that will be. I'm hoping for May, but again, I have no idea. In the meantime, we will keep loving and connecting socially and spiritually, just not physically. We will embody love in action by protecting one another and keeping each other safe. And when it gets really hard and we feel really lonely, we will remember that divine love. We will remember the divine love that is greater than all, but present in each. Perhaps this is what God meant when God said to Julian that all shall be well. It wasn't just all shall be well in some abstract, take the long view, general way, but all manner of things shall be well. All manner of things, in particular, will be well. Each and every little thing will be embraced in the fullness of divine love. Every life, every moment, every breath, everything will be held in love. Every particular tragedy, heartache, prayer, fear, or anxiety will be held in love. You will not go through any of it in isolation. For love is with you. Beloveds, things appear strange and uncertain right now, but we will get through this by enacting and receiving love, by staying home, by supporting our healthcare workers, by being kind and generous to our grocery store clerks, by being brave, focusing on the common good, and staying physically apart until the day arrives when we can be together again. That day will come. Until and beyond then, everything, including you, and all of your worries and fears will be held by divine love. May it be so. May all things be well. Amen, and blessed be.